epistle of 1 John. I want to read a few verses in this chapter, really focusing. The whole message is really centered on verse number 6. We'll read a few verses leading up to verse 6 to get us a launching point or a starting point for the message here today. But verse number 6 is where the whole message is. If you get verse 6, you get it all. If you miss verse 6, you'll miss it all. So I would focus in on that verse especially. And I do believe it'll be a help and a blessing. And this morning, Brother John said in Sunday school, I'm going to make sure I mention this, he said in Sunday school that he had 5 points. And he called them out to us. Y'all listen, I only have 2 points to this little message. And of course, I have a few things about those 2 things, but I just have 2 things this morning. And I was up north several years ago preaching in a meeting, and a pastor up there told me, he said, you know, says, we don't have point preachers up here much like y'all have down south. I said, what are you talking about, point preachers? He said, you know, he said, you always get up to preach and said, you have points. He said, our preachers up here don't have a point. I just sort of let that one lie still for just a minute. And I think that is the danger we run whenever we get to the pulpit, is that we don't want to get to the pulpit without a point. And I don't have 5 of them, but I got 2 real important ones this morning. And so I'd ask you to tune in real closely as we share those with you and try to say something that'll be a help and a blessing. If you're able and willing, I would invite you to stand with us and we'll reverence the reading of the Word of the Lord. And by the way, I do say that every service that I ask you to stand, if you're able and willing, and I sincerely mean it, if you're not able, got your hands full of children, or maybe you're not well physically, then don't feel bad if you need to remain seated. It's A-OK. So I say that not just a matter of practice, but as a matter of sincerity. I've tried to teach myself to say it exactly that way because I want you to be able to do what's best for the circumstance, and we'll reverence the Word of the Lord. And if you're not able, then that doesn't mean you don't reverence the Word of the Lord. So 1 John chapter 2, verse number 3, the Word of the Lord says, and hereby do we know that we know Him, if we keep His commandments. And he that saith, I know Him, and keepeth not His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth His word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in Him. He that saith he abideth in Him ought himself also so to walk, even as He walked. Verse number 6 is our text. He that saith he abideth in Him ought himself also so to walk, even as He walked. I want to preach, if the Lord will help me for a few moments this morning, on walking like Jesus with the Lord, or walking as He walked with the Lord. You can be seated this morning. Thank you graciously for standing with us. This is the 20th or 21st installment of this series of sermons concerning walking with the Lord. And we've spoken about many of those occasions, beginning with Adam walking with the Lord, the voice of the Lord, in the cool of the day. Joseph walking in integrity with the Lord, and Enoch walking in consistency. We used all of those Old Testament examples. The Hebrew boys walking in the fire with the Lord, and Daniel walking in testimony with the Lord. We spoke in these messages about John the Baptist walking in expectancy, and John the Beloved walking in endurance, and the Apostle Peter walking in love, and the Apostle Paul walking in the Spirit. Jairus' daughter walking in new life. One of born of 4 walking in forgiveness. 2 disciples walking in sadness. The lame man walking in the name of Jesus is what we talked about last week. And how that they said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I unto thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise and walk. And he rose and walked, and he stood, and he leaped, and the Bible said he took Peter and John and hailed them and went into the temple. So I see him going in the temple holding on to them. And while he's holding on to them, the Bible says he stood and he walked and he leaped and he praised God. And Peter and John was along for the ride, buddy. I mean, he's dragging them along while he's jumping up and down and shouting and praising the Lord and rejoicing. And some of them asked him why, and he reminded them that it was in the name of Jesus that he could walk and that the Lord had made a difference in his life. And when you know the Lord, you have new life. As Jairus' daughter, you have. When you know the Lord, you have forgiveness of sins as the one lame man that was born of four. When you know the Lord, that you can walk in the name of Jesus. You have a new opportunity to live for Him, and you ought to live your life for the Lord. You ought to use your life for the Lord. And today I'm talking about walking as he walked, as the scripture said, that you ought himself also so to walk even as he walked. That is, walking like Jesus. Now, we tend to become like those with whom we spend the most time. We tend to become like those with whom we spend the most time. One preacher said it this way, you are now or soon will be exactly what your friends are. We take on the habits, the speech patterns, the body language, and the mindset of those with whom we spend the most time. That's why it's important for the child of God to spend more time with the Lord than anyone else. Dr. Sammy Allen said, to have great power with God, there's one thing a man must do. Spend more time with Jesus than he spends with anybody else. May the Lord help us to do just that. When a person first comes to Christ for salvation, there are some instantaneous changes that takes place. Yet it is very natural for all who are saved and new in the Lord to retain some characteristics of the old life. But then as we grow and mature, there should be more changes that take place in us. We should always be growing and always striving and always seeking to be more and more like the Lord. These things are produced in us as we learn about God, as we mature, as we learn about Christ and the Bible, and as we yield to the leadership of the Holy Spirit. As these changes take place, we should find that our attitudes, actions, and attractions become less like the old man and more like our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what John means when he says that we are to walk like Jesus, that we are to so walk even as he walked. And we walk with him and come to walk like him. Notice again verse number 6. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk even as he walked. And so that's our text here this morning. Two things that I want you to notice in this passage of Scripture, and then maybe a few things about those two things. Two things to notice in the passage. First of all, I want you to see a profession that is declared, and then I want to talk about a performance that is demanded. A profession that is declared and a performance that is demanded. When the Bible begins in verse number 6 saying to us, he that saith he abideth in him. That is, he's made a declaration. He has said, he has declared, I abide in the Lord. Now, in the previous verses, it said there's some ways we can know whether that's true or not. Hereby we know that we have, that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith in verse 4, I know him. But whoso keepeth his word is a contrast to verse 5. There is this profession that is declared and a performance that is demanded. If you say you know the Lord, it ought to show up in your life. Now, those that the Bible said, he that saith, he abideth in him. That is, there are those who tell us they have a profession of faith. And you, if you are saved, you ought to tell somebody. You ought to profess the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus himself said, if you're ashamed of him before men, he will be ashamed of you before his Father and his holy angels one day in the judgment. it, but I don't want to be ashamed of the Lord. I want my life to be a light to some soul. They have said that they are saved. And brother, if you know the Lord, you ought to say it. You ought to let somebody know that you know Jesus. You ought to let everybody know that you know Jesus. You ought to testify of what the Lord has done in your life. And when you profess, when we profess that we abide in Him, we're saying a mouthful. It means something when you say that you know the Lord. He that saith he abideth in Him. And now there is this abiding in the Lord. In that, there is a declaration of salvation. How we sang the song here this morning. I remember the day when the Lord saved me. And I'm glad I do remember that day. And for some of you, it's been maybe a year or two or a short time. And for some, it's been 30 or 40 years. And some, it's been 50, 60, 70, 80 years. And so it's been many years. I think Sister Edith told me the other day that she was right close to 90 years old and got saved when she was about 9 or 10 years old. And if y'all can do the math, that's been a good long time ago, and she's still saved. Amen. And if you know the Lord, and if you've been saved, you ought to tell somebody about it. And there is a declaration of the Lord Jesus Christ working in you in salvation. Those who claim to be in Jesus, He said, that abide in Him. Those who claim to be in Jesus, there is only one way in to Christ. And that is through receiving Him as your personal Savior and Lord. Acts 16:31, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. To be in Jesus is the only place of salvation, of safety, of security, of peace, of happiness, of being right with God, of being delivered from hell, of being certain of heaven. The benefits of being in Jesus are enormous. The benefits of being in Jesus are enormous. But the consequences of not being in Him are catastrophic. Brother, you are in or out. You are lost or saved. You are headed to heaven or headed to hell. It is repent or perish, turn or burn. There is no such thing as being religiously unaffiliated. Friend, you'll have to take sides with God against yourself and receive the Lord Jesus in your life. Being saved is the most important thing that can happen in your life, and it's a very simple thing. I want to tell you this morning, if the devil has sat on your shoulder and convinced you that it's just too complicated to know the Lord, always remember, he's bad to lie. Knowing the Lord is not complicated. It's not hard. And now it'll probably wound your pride when you realize what it takes. But it's not difficult to become a Christian. It's not difficult to be saved. It's not difficult for the Lord to save you. I know, because preachers like me preach against so-called easy believism. Other people think we believe in hard believism, but I don't believe that at all. My friend, what they call easy believism is the concept that a person would hear a few words, follow a little formula, let's repeat a little prayer, and everything would just be all right. And there's no change in their heart, and they don't know the Lord, and they don't even really know what it is that they're doing. They're just following some religious formula. A religious formula won't save you. But the Bible said, a broken heart and a contrite spirit, O Lord, thou wilt not despise. The Lord is wanting to save you. It's not hard for the Lord to save you. It's not hard for the Lord to birth you in the family of God. I remember the day little Gracie got saved, and I got a few points about this point, but I want to tell the story first. I remember the day that little Gracie got saved, and she was a little girl that had, again and again, had come to the altar to pray. She'd pray a little while. I'd get down beside of her, kneel down beside of her, oftentimes ask her, what did you come for? She'd say, Daddy, I need to be saved. And we'd have the conversations, and she knew she could just be straightforward with me. And I'd ask her, Gracie, do you need to be saved right now? Or are you just here because you know in your heart you need to be saved? Is the Lord speaking to your heart that you want to be, that you need to be saved right now? And oftentimes she'd say, no, he's not. I just know I need to be saved. And I said, well, let's just stay here and pray a minute and ask the Lord to speak to your heart, and we'll thank him for your desire to be saved, and let him know you're interested. And there'll come a day God will deal with your heart, and you'll come aware of what you need to do, and the Lord Lord will save you. And I'm trusting Him for that. And we pray about that time and time and time and time and time again. Revival meeting had come and gone, and Brother Milby had preached for us at that year in the fall revival. He told me, he said, in that deep voice that he had, very authoritative tone, he said, Brother Powers, he said, who is that little girl right yonder? I said, that's my oldest girl, Gracie. And she's about 8 or 9 years old. And he said, she's in trouble with the Lord. He said, we're praying she's in trouble with the Lord. And I told him, I said, I believe the Lord's dealing with her about being saved, but she don't know what exactly to do and how to interpret it. And I'm trying not to get in any way to get in the way. And she'd come to the altar and pray. Many of you saw her time and again come to the altar and pray. Some of you were so faithful to pray with her and for her, and I want to thank you for that. And then the day came when I felt like the Holy Spirit specifically put a message on my heart to preach to her on a Sunday, on that Saturday in my office in prayer. And I've never felt so sure of something in my life. The Holy Ghost said for me to preach that for my little girl on Sunday morning. And I preached on Sunday morning best I could what the Lord had put in my heart. And then she came out from where she was seated and come down to the altar to pray. And I thought, surely this is it. The Lord is just going to save her soul right here this morning. And she was kneeling right over there and praying. And I'm standing here and I wanted to get down and pray with her so bad I couldn't stand it. And I felt as if the Holy Spirit was saying to me, you leave her alone and let me deal with her. You're going to get in the way of what I'm trying to do and hear her heart this morning. And she sat there and she knelt there and she struggled and she prayed. And finally she got up and she went back to her seat. And no victory and no satisfaction and no peace. And I was troubled over that matter. And she got in the car and she looked at her mother with big tears in her eyes and said, Mama, she said that Daddy said this morning that it was not hard for the Lord to save somebody. And she mother told her, said, that's right, sweetheart. I said, it's not hard. The Lord can save anybody and everybody. And she cried and said, why then is it so hard for me to be saved? And she wrestled with that thing. But that night, I turned the message over that evening to Brother Scott. He preached that evening from Hebrews 2 and 3. Another great salvation message. And she came back again to the altar to pray. And she knelt and began to seek the Lord. And I felt a nod from heaven as if to say, all right, now it's okay for you to pray with her. I knelt down beside her and I asked her. I said, Gracie, did you come and pray about something particular? She said, as she had said many times before, Daddy, I need to be saved. I said to her, do you need to be saved today? Or do you just know you need to be saved? Is the Lord speaking to your heart? She said, I need to get saved right now. Right now, Daddy, I need to be saved. I said, well, have you asked the Lord to save you? And she said, yeah, that's what I come for, but I just hadn't got peace. I said, well, we're going to ask Him again. And she began to pray, and she prayed a hole in the sky. And then she got peace and satisfaction from the Lord. And her mama asked her, Sonia said, do you believe the Lord? Did you ask the Lord to save you? Yes, she said. Do you believe the Lord saved you? She said, yes, I do. Her mama said, you need to know. And she said, I do know. I know that He saved my soul. I'm telling you, friend, that you can know that you're saved. You can have this matter settled. There is nothing more important in the world than being saved. And my friend, it is a very simple thing. You can be born again. You can be saved and know it. And whatever the devil's put in your heart or in your mind to make you think it's more complicated than what it is. You need to hear me this morning. The Lord made, my friend, a smooth path and an open gate where you could access eternal life through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And He wants to save you more than what you want to be saved today. He wants you to go to heaven more than what you want to go to heaven. Amen. He wants you to go to heaven so much He was willing to come to this world and become your sin and die on the cross on your behalf. Take your place and pass His precious forgiveness on to you if you'll but receive Him. And now this morning, in order to be saved, there are a few things you need to know, and there's only one thing you need
need to do. There are a few things you need to know, and there's only one thing that you need to do. The world will say this much. You need to join the church. You need to be baptized. You need to shake the preacher's hand. You need to repeat this prayer. You need to say these things. Stand on one leg. Sing the Yellow Rose of Texas. I don't know. All sorts of little things that they put provisions on it. But brother, I'm telling you, there's a little bit you need to know, and there's one thing you need to do. You need to know this morning that you are a sinner. In order to be saved, you need something to be saved from. This whole world doesn't want to be told that they've ever done anything wrong. And they don't want to be told that they're in trouble with the Lord. And they don't have nothing to be saved from. What do you need to be delivered from? What do you need to be saved from? What help do you need in your life if you're okay as you are? But I have news for you. There is none good, no, not one. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You need to know that you are a sinner. You must understand that there is a penalty for your sin. Romans 6:23 said the wages of sin is death. Psalms 9 and verse 17 said the wicked shall be turned into hell with all the nations that forget God. There is a heaven to gain and a hell to shine, and every person whose name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life is going to have an eternal fire as of their home, separated from the Lord. You need to know you're a sinner and that there is a price for sin to be paid. Thirdly, you need to know that God loves you and He's made a way for you to be saved, delivered, rescued from sin and what it brings. Your sin will bring death. Your sin will bring damnation. Your sin will bring doom. But your Savior has brought deliverance. There is a way for you to be delivered from sin and what it brings. Hallelujah. John, Jesus said in the book of John 3:16, Jesus said it best because He always does. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Romans 5:8 said, God commended His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The old devil says, a loving God would not let anybody go to hell. My friend, the devil is bad to lie. A loving God has made a way for you to escape hell. But if you keep going your own way and turning down the way of escape, you'll die lost, and you'll die just like you are and face the judgment unprepared. And it's unnecessary. You can be saved. You can know the Lord. You can be born again. And now, my friend, what thing must you do? You must believe the gospel. 1 Corinthians 15:3. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. That's the gospel. And that He was buried and that He rose again the third day according to the scriptures. The Lord Jesus came to live a perfect life in your place, to die a perfect death in your place, and to overcome the grave for you. And now what He did can become a title deed to eternity for you. He will give unto you what He has done. Hallelujah. That is the gospel. That is the good news. You don't have to die lost. You don't have to die undone. You don't have to meet eternity unprepared. Hallelujah. So now what must I do to be saved? Oh, you must be willing to turn from your sin. That is, you must be willing to let the Lord do something in your life. Jesus said in Luke chapter 13, verse 3, my friend, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. This simply means that you're aware of your sin, you're sorry for your sin, and you're willing to let the Lord take your sin away. It means you desire to be and are willing to be changed by the Lord. Brother, I'm telling you tonight, the Lord saved my soul. I wanted so much to be changed, and I desire to be. And ever since then, I've tried to be willing to let the Lord change me. And 2 Corinthians 5:17 said, now, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Our verse said, he that saith he abideth in Him. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And my friend, are you willing to be? And do you desire to be changed by the Lord?
If you are, then you're in a good place to be saved this morning. So what do? Call upon the Lord for salvation. It's that important. It's that simple. Romans 10:13, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. This is the one thing you must do. You know what you need to know to be saved. Maybe you can't quote one of the verses that I've quoted this morning. Maybe you don't even have a Bible. Maybe your mama's done this and your daddy's done that and you've done this and you've done that. And the devil says there's no way you can get in. Again, he is bad to lie. You know what you need to know to be saved this morning. And now it's up to you to do what you need to do. And that is to call upon the Lord. Oh, my friend, how do you call upon him? I got in this one night. I was a fellow who embraces false doctrine and he has spun around in circles trying to figure out how to call on the Lord. You call on the Lord the same way you call on anybody else. And my friend, if I was going to call on Brother John, I'd say, Brother John. And I'd tell him what was on my heart. And if you're going to call on the Lord, you call on him the same way you'd call on anybody else. Lord, help me. And Lord, save me. Lord, forgive me. Oh, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. And then the Bible said in Romans 10:9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, that's how you call on him. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart, God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. If you'll just call upon the name of the Lord, and my friend, he'll make it salvation a reality in your life. You know the forgiveness of sins. He will do it. It's his purpose and desire to save you this morning. No, you won't know everything you got when you get saved. I've been saved now for 34 years and I'm just starting to figure out a little bit of what the Lord gave me the night I got saved. So when I got born again, all I wanted to do was make sure I didn't go to hell. I needed my sins forgiven. I needed peace. But the Lord did those things and so much more. And my friend, I'm just now starting to understand a little bit of it. And when I get to heaven, I'm going to realize there's so much more than what I know now. But it all comes because what Jesus does in saving your soul. Amen. I wonder this morning, are you saved? If not, why not come to him right now while he's calling on you to come? Revelation 3:20, Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. He said, if any man will open up and unto me, I'll come in and I will dine with him, sup with him, and he with me, fellowship with him. If you'll open the door, let Jesus in, he'll come in your life. Don't wait and let Satan have time to talk you out of it. Come now. He said, while you're preaching, preacher, absolutely. I'm not finished preaching, but if the Lord's finished with the message in your heart, you ought to get in this altar and seek the Lord. And if the Lord wants me to, I'll stop preaching and pray with you. And if he wants me to preach to the rest of them while you pray, I'll try to be obedient to that. But don't wait a moment. When God's dealing, come now. Amen. There is a declaration of salvation. This is also when he says in this verse, he that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to so walk, even as he walked. This is a declaration of surrender. He said, I abide in the Lord. I'm not just in him, but I abide in the Lord. It means to tarry or to dwell. Jesus spoke of this abiding in him in John 15:1-11. And he says, I am the vine and ye are the branches. Like a branch on a vine, it is our duty to abide in him. We draw our very life from him. We can do nothing without him. We surrender to his will and his power in us. And then we bear fruit and we're to yield up everything to Jesus in absolute and total surrender. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed into this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your
your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. There's a declaration of surrender when you say, I abide in Him. There's a declaration of service. Help, my friend, you need to be saved, surrendered, and serving. Love for Christ is that to manifest itself in service to Christ, and it's just as natural for a Christian as breathing. I mean, serving Jesus is just as natural for a Christian as breathing is. Amen. That Brother Charles Dixon used to say, it's just as natural for a saved man to live right as for it is for a chicken to run barefooted. And ain't none of you ever seen a chicken with a pair of shoes on. Amen. And that's right. It's natural for the child of God to live right. That's a desire to serve Him, to want your life to be a blessing to others. That's a very short verse, but he that saith he abideth in Him ought himself also so to walk even as he walks. My friend, it makes quite a statement. Many make the claim, but the proof of the pudding is in the eating. That is, the validity of your claim will be borne out in your life. If you're really saved, it will show up in how you serve.
Amen. How you live for the Lord. You claim salvation, but you live like the world is a poor testimony of whatever it is you have in your heart.
Amen.
Brother Bruce Gilliland said one service here as he was preaching on learning to live like a dead man. He said, some people are either just lost and never been saved, or they are so terribly backslid that they don't care any longer what their life says about Jesus. I'm going to tell you, I care what my life says about the Lord. Amen. A profession to be declared. And then point number two, this is the other part of the message. There is a performance to be demanded. He said, if we profess Him, that is, we say we abide in Him, he said, that man ought also, himself also, so to walk even as he walked. He abideth in Him, ought himself also so to walk even as he walked. If we profess to be saved, then we ought to walk like Jesus. It is a reasonable explanation. My life was meaningless before, and I have nothing to live for. But He came and gave me peace down in my soul. And ever since that night of prayer, when He came to me there, the joy within my soul, it can't be told. And I owe it all to Him. I owe it all to Jesus, for He saved me from sin. I praise God. If I was not so congested with all this stuff, it's hard for me to sing this morning. I'd stop in the middle of preaching and sing. But I can't do that whenever it gets congested. I'll have to wait until I'm not, and I'll try to sing it then. I owe it all to Jesus. He is the one, friend. It's a performance that's demanded of us. It's our reasonable expectation. He said that man that abides in Him, that says he abides in Him, he ought himself also so to walk. That word ought means to be indebted. We are indebted to Jesus. We owe it to Jesus. My friend, He has a claim on my life. I belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not my own. I've been bought with a price, and I'm to live for His glory and His honor. Amen. And we don't do this to pay God back, but we do it because we owe Him everything in our lives, and we're devoted to Him. This is what you ought to do, but I wonder, is it what you do? It's what you ought to do, but is it the real story? Does Jesus come first in your life? Is He more important than anything else? He should be. I remember the terrible price Jesus paid for your soul. And our love for Jesus is then told more by what we do than by what we say. I don't just want to have a testimony that I'm saved and that I say that I'm saved, but I want to have a track record that shows the Lord has done something in my life. Amen.
Amen.
A reasonable expectation. And when God tells us He wants us to live for Him, that's not unreasonable.
Right.
He died for us. It's not unreasonable for Him to ask us to live for Him.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
When you're discouraged, when you're weary, remember him who endured such contradiction of sinners. My friend, lest you also be wearied and faint in your mind. That is, when you consider Jesus, when you think about what he went through for you, when you think about all he endured for you, and then you endure light affliction of some kind in this old world, be reminded, my friend, that is an opportunity for you to know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, and to be made conformable unto his death, that the life of Christ may, my friend, be displayed through you. We are trophies of grace. We are displays of his love. We are made a gaze and stop before this world. And God is using us to show somebody else about Jesus. And that is a reasonable expectation of our lives. Oh, it's a reasonable expectation. The performance demanded. It is a remarkable example that he gives us here. He said, he that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. This verse says that every person ought to walk like Jesus. He's the standard for which we are to reach. If I'm walking for the Lord, how to walk like the Lord. If I'm walking with the Lord, how to walk like the Lord. If I say that I'm identified with the Lord, how to walk like the Lord. We are to walk worthy of the vocation whereunto we are called. And if we, my friend, live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Praise God, your walk talks louder than your talk talks. This verse tells us we're to walk like him. Every step we take should be patterned after Jesus, after his walk. How did he live? How does he live? That's the way we are to live our lives. I want to be more like my Lord. I want to be more like my Jesus. I say, Jesus, be Jesus in me. No longer me, but thee. Resurrection power, fill me this hour. Jesus, be Jesus in me. Do you have a desire for your life to say to the world what it needs to about the Lord Jesus Christ? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Brother John brushed across it in the Sunday school lesson talking about it. How that when our lives, talking about that account of David's sin, sins, host of sins, one sin stacked on top of another sin. And how the worst part of the whole thing was when Nathan looks at David and said, you've done this thing before all and given occasion to the enemies of God to blaspheme.
Right.
When you live your life poorly, bearing the name of Christ or Christian, you give occasion to the devil and his crowd to blaspheme the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. God help us. It does matter how you live. It does matter how you look. It does matter how you live. It does matter what you love. It does matter what you lust after. It does matter. Your life matters for the Lord Jesus Christ. We are told in Matthew 5, boy, people love that Sermon on the Mount and think it is just such a sweet little sermon. You need to go back and read that again. I mean, Jesus did some preaching in the Sermon on the Mount. We are told in Matthew 5 and 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. The only way your life is ever going to glorify God is you to clean the filth out of it. And my friend, then live it for the honor and glory of God. You can't wallow in sin, play with sin, pet sin, love sin, commit sin, make a habit of sin, declare sin, be ashamed of it, be unashamed of sin, and live your life for the Lord's glory at the same time. The sooner you get out of the sinning business, the better. Stop where you are. I'm recapping the Sunday school lesson this morning. Stop where you are. Go no further. Turn around. Realize your life for God matters, and your testimony matters, and your witness matters, and you need to live for God. Amen. Walk like Jesus would walk. You ought not to have a little bracelet on your hand that says, what WWJD, what would Jesus do? Listen, hey, if you need that to help you, I'm not opposed to it. I'm not preaching against it. I'm not throwing stones about it. I'm just saying you ought not to have that. And there's the Holy Ghost, like bigger than a bracelet. Amen. I'm a man. I don't wear bracelets anyway. M-A-N, capital M, capital A, capital N. I don't wear bracelets. Hallelujah. Brother Toby don't wear bracelets. lipstick. He don't wear pink. He don't wear necklaces. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. I believe in being a man bona fide. And now if I had the diabetes, and one day I may don't know if I had diabetes, needed a medical bracelet, I'd wear it. But since I might, I don't. Hallelujah. And if I get sick and need to wear a medical bracelet, I won't be ashamed of it. But I don't wear no other kind. Amen. And our lives matter. And to listen, there's something a lot bigger than a bracelet living in me. The third person of the Godhead, the Holy Ghost, lives down in my heart. And to my friend, I don't have to have any other reminders. The Holy Spirit tells me when I'm not doing right. He says no. He says stop. He says slow down. He says look around. He reminds me that my life must be lived for His glory, and I desire for my life to be lived for His glory. I want my life to say something about Jesus that brings glory to God in the world and in glory. I want it to bring glory to God in this world and in heaven, amen. I want my life to exalt and lift up and honor the name of Christ. And if I'm going to do that, I have to walk like Jesus walked. He's my pattern. He's my pattern.
Yes, sir.
That Holy Ghost is in you. You know what He's here to do? To teach you in all the ways of truth and right. To tell the world of Christ. To remind us of the things the Lord taught us. He is there as our comforter, as our guide, as our instructor. Oh, and listen, I want my life to be like Jesus. When Jesus was in this world, my friend, He walked in the right way, and I want to walk in the right way while I'm in this world. Jesus placed God's will ahead of everything else. John 4:34, He said, my meat is to do the will of Him that sent me and to finish His work. And that ought to be our will. That ought to be our desire. God's will is more important than anything else. And Jesus, when He was here in this world, He loved all men, and He did so equally. He never turned anyone away. Matthew 12:15 said, great multitudes followed Him, and He healed them all. He didn't say, well, I'll take some of you and throw the rest of you in the trash. He didn't say, well, some of you can have something the Lord has not sent for the rest of you. I don't care about the rest of you. No, friend. He, my friend, received all that would come unto Him. May the Lord help us not to be respecters of persons. He always did those things that pleased His Father. He did nothing for Himself, but for the glory of God. At John 8:29, He said, I always do those things that please Him. That is the Father. I want to do the things in my life that please the Father. Amen. And Jesus, when He was here in this world, He was compassionate toward others. And Matthew 9:36 says that He was moved with compassion. And that word compassion literally comes from the innards of an animal, from the insides. Whenever they would offer unto a God or offer on the sacrifice of the altar, my friend, whether it was a heathen priest or if it was a godly priest, and when they offered on their altar the body of that animal and so forth, it was one thing. But then when they'd take the insides of that animal out, they would offer what they called the compassion unto their God. That is the guts of the animal. Y'all don't look like that's impressing you very much. But when the Bible said He was moved with compassion for us, that means He was moved on the inside. That means down and deep in his being, God was moved for us, stirred for us. How do you have compassion upon others? The Bible said in the book of Jude that some have compassion making a difference. Do you have compassion? Do you make a difference? Do you care about people? Jesus, my friend, was compassionate towards others. When Jesus was here, He was a man of faith. Well, that's an understatement, isn't it? When Jesus was here, He was a man of faith. I'll tell you how much a man of faith He was, sitting, standing and praying outside the tomb of Lazarus. They had been dead 4 days. His sisters were saying, don't take the stone back. He stinks. It'll embarrass the family. He's already beginning to rot. Rigor mortis is set in. Don't let it happen. He said, roll the stone away. And He looked up towards heaven and said, Father, I thank Thee that Thou hearest me. And I know that You always hear me when I pray. But I said it for all those that are around if they might hear. Jesus had absolute, total, complete faith. There's never been a man of faith like him. My friend, there has never been a person who had clearer faith than the man Christ Jesus. And if we are to walk like he walked, then we'll walk in faith knowing that the Lord hears our prayers. Praise God. Hallelujah. This whole first epistle of John is about knowing. And knowing. Hallelujah. We can know we have the petition we desire of him. We can know we have eternal life. We can know we are in the brethren. Amen. We can know we are in Christ. We can know we're going to heaven. We can know the truth. And the Lord Jesus is a man of faith. He knew that the Father always heard him. I want to be a man of faith while I'm in this world. And above it all, Jesus was a man that walked with God. Jesus was the perfect revelation of God to man. God's Christ became man's Jesus. Man's perfect God became God's perfect man. Hallelujah. His very life could be summed up in the way that he lived while he was here on earth. In Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law, and every bit of that describes how Jesus lived in this world.
Right. Right. Yes, sir. Yes.
It ought to describe the way that we live in this world. This should also be true of us. This is possible for us only when we yield totally to the Holy Spirit. Jesus was a Spirit-filled man.
Amen.
Just as Jesus was the manifestation of God to the world, Brother Bob, we are to be the manifestation of Jesus to this world. When they see us, they should see Christ. 1 John 4:17 says it this way, because as he is, so are we in this world. Because as he is, so are we in this world. Do you realize this morning, as a saved person, if you're born again, you are heaven's representative to earth. You are an ambassador of glory here in this world. And most people, sadly, are not going to, lost people, people who don't know the Lord, are not going to pick up a Bible and read it. They're not going to seek out the sermon that I preached in somebody's revival somewhere or another along over the years and find it on sermonaudio.com. And listen, there'll be a few, but that's not what most people are going to do.
Right.
You know what most people are going to do? They're going to go to their workplace. They're going to go to school. They're going to go live their lives. And when they show up down there to the yard to hook up their 18-wheeler, Brother Daniel shows up and he hooks his up and it's time for them to pull out, they're going to watch your life. And what they know about Jesus is what they're going to see through you, and that's probably all they will know unless you stir in them a hunger and desire to know the Lord. Isn't that right? When you show up on your job, they show up on their job. They get on a conference call. They are on some Zoom call. Brother John zooms all around the world. He sits there in his office, but it zooms all over the world on his screens. Somebody somewhere or another in a place in India. I know y'all contract a lot in India. Those tech guys over there, cheap tech labor. I'm telling you, it's bad. Somewhere or another in India, there's a fellow that all he's known is Hinduism. All he's known is Buddhism. All he knows is Islam. But he's got a brief moment to talk to a person on a screen working from his basement in Bremen, Georgia. And for a moment, he has an opportunity to see a glimpse of Christ if you'll let him come through in your life. Brother Tom shows up with his boys at somebody's house to put flooring in. They didn't call him over there to be a testimony, but God sent him to be a testimony. And the way you and your boys and your wife communicate with each other, and the way you carry your life out, and the way you do your work, and the pride you take in your work, and the manners you have while you're there says something to them. And that person has an opportunity to see Christ evidenced in your life.
You walk down the hallways of your school, boys and girls, and that your friends and your classmates, they see you, they see your life, they watch you, they see when the others are participating in the bad jokes and the ugly things they ought not to, and they see it when you don't do those things, and you are displaying the Lord Jesus Christ to this whole world. God, help us show up at a Chamber of Commerce meeting, and others, you know, are telling about this or that, the other thing, and they want to know, what was your weekend like, Toby? And I say, well, I had a good weekend. We had church twice on Sunday. I tried to get some studying in on my Sunday school lesson and the message on Saturday, and God was good to us, and we had a good day. And they're ready to talk about going to the lake or a camping or the vacation house or something. But for 30 seconds, I had an opportunity to try to display the Lord Jesus Christ to somebody to let them know the Lord cares. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Amen. Somewhere or another, there's a neighbor that's got a situation. Needs somebody to help you. To help them move a piece of furniture or fix something around the house. There's a neighbor somewhere or another that's got a sick animal and needs some assistance with it. Your opportunity to tell them about Jesus is in showing them kindness in their time of need. Amen. A few weeks ago, some of you, I mentioned to you about some cows getting sick around the house and medicine we had to give them. And one of them, they all got well. A bunch of them got sick and they all got well. But one of them that got well, that had already laid down, and she had laid down so long that even after she got over the sickness, it left her paralyzed in her back legs, and we had to put her down. They all got well, but she couldn't make it, and so she didn't live through it. We had a couple of neighbors that come over to the house to help with us and brought some magnesium medication such through a drip and the IV, and we put that IV and so forth in. And my daddy and I are out there, and he says, well, said, all we've done, all we can do now, said, we're just going to have to pray about it. And that lady says, yeah, I don't know if they go to church or not. I don't know if they ever have known anything about the Lord. They don't really always tell us about it, you know. And my daddy said, we're just going to pray about it. And that lady said, yeah, we'll just pray about it. The next day she called him. She said, James, what about that cow? And he told her, and he said, I may have to put her down. She said, I don't think I'd put her down yet. Let's just pray about it another day. And she called another day or two. She said, let's pray about it one more day, James. She stuck on praying for that cow. Did more to witness to her about Jesus than anything anybody had said to her in 20 years. You don't know what little thing you'll do to display Christ that'll be a witness in this world. Live your life. Walk. Now listen. Here's the thing I want you to grasp in this, and I'm finished preaching with this. I'm not just beginning to close. I am closing right here. When you ought so to walk even as He walked. That is, to display Christ, you don't have to do anything out of the ordinary on purpose.
Right. Yeah, that's right. You're right. Amen. Yep.
Now, Tanya's my older sister. Older sister. I have a younger sister, but she's my older sister. And you'll know this is true. I don't have to try to walk across this floor, Lord willing. And I don't have to try to walk like my daddy. I don't have to try. Just the way that it is. Walk as he walked. Now, he don't walk that good no more because he's had 7 back surgeries. But before he had 7 back surgeries, he'd stand up straight too. Now, sometimes I get up in the morning and I walk like he walks.
Yeah.
Trying to get straightened back up. Some of y'all can witness with that. You know what I'm talking about. Yeah. It's hitting me here. You know why I don't have to try to walk like he walks? I've got his blood in me. I'm his son. He's my father.
Right.
All I have to do to be a powers is just live my life the way that nature intended for it to be. If you are a child of the Father, if you are a son of God, all you really got to do is just live the way God intended for you to live your life, and it will show up on you.
Right. That's right.
Amen. Does anybody know what I'm talking about?
Amen.
Tate does not have to try to look like Daniel. He don't have to try to. Matter of fact, there's a time or two he was with me for a couple weeks ago. I started to look over at him and say, cut that out. He doesn't have to try facial expressions. The way that he carries himself, some of the things that he said, I could just hear it. I thought, yeah, your daddy told you that. He doesn't have to try. Matter of fact, he could try not to and he couldn't help it. The Atkins just shows up on him. Your life, if you're a son of the Father, if you're a child of God, does the Lord just show up on you?
Right.
Have you really been displaying Jesus to this world? I'm finished. Please come with a song. I've preached what the Lord's put on my heart. Walking as He walked. Walking as He walks with the Lord.
Yeah.
I've got one piece of news for you. Close out the message this morning. If you don't want to walk as He walks, you won't walk with the Lord. Can two walk together? We started the series right there. Can two walk together except they be agreed?
Right.
If your life is in disagreement with God, you won't walk with Him. I didn't say that, the Bible did.
Amen.
You can't do whatever you think you want to do, live however you think you want to live, have whatever moral or immoral lifestyle that you think you want to have, and it be okay with the Lord. That's not how things work.
Right.
If you know the Lord this morning, your life ought to show it. Some of you maybe feel like you're at a distance, following from afar. Maybe you've never been saved today. You need to come get right with the Lord. Saints of God that really care what your life says about Jesus, you ought to have a hunger to display Christ in your life. Everybody stand, please. I preach what God's put on my heart. Lord, have mercy on us this morning. Help us, Lord. Help us, I pray. Can the world see Jesus in you? Do you have a profession that is driven by performance? Do you have a faith that works? Sing for us whenever you get ready. Some are praying, others may need to come. Lord, help us.
One night as I lay sleeping, a dream came to me.
God,
I dreamed about the end of time, about
you know the Lord, is your heart right with God? Have you ever been saved?
On their knees to pray.
Are you living for Jesus?
The Lord,
what does your life say about the Lord?